We'll now go on to Senate Bill, or to let's take House Bill 1012, an act to implement the requirements of the National Medical Support Notice regarding the collecting of child support. Brought to us by the Department of Social Services. Pardon? Okay. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Welcome back to Pierre. My name is Dave Brown. For the last 12 years, I've served as legal counsel for the Department of Social Services Office of Child Support Enforcement. House Bill 1012, as much as I hate to tell this committee or this legislature or any South Dakota legislator, comes to the fore today as a result of a new federal mandate that's being placed upon every child support enforcement agency within the nation, including South Dakota's. Within the department, we've affectionately come to know this bill as a National Medical Support Notice Bill. It's imperative that this committee, whether you agree with the idea behind the bill or not, that this committee and this legislature realize that if this bill is not passed and it is not placed on the books and implemented by the department's Child Support Enforcement Agency, the state would face losing $25.4 million in federal funding. This $25.4 million, the breakdown, if the law is not passed and implemented by the department, $4.1 million in federal funds, which is used to operate our child support enforcement program in the state, we would lose. In addition to the child support enforcement program money, the state would lose an additional $21.3 million in federal funds, which we use to fund the state TANF program for welfare recipients. I provided each of you a handout, actually two handouts. These appear on the Department of Health and Human Services website at the federal level to basically explain. The first handout, which is a two-page handout, explains the history and background of the National Medical Support Notice, how it came into play, and how it ultimately was decided to be implemented from a nationwide level down to the states. It also provides you a brief synopsis of how the process is intended to work. The second handout that I gave you, which is a nine-page document, is the actual National Medical Support Notice itself, which is a federally mandated form, which will be required to be used within South Dakota and also with every other state in the nation when the notice is issued. What I'd like to do here today is to visit with you a little bit about how we envision this process being implemented within the state of South Dakota, assuming the bill does pass between now and July 1st, then attempt to answer any questions you might have regarding the bill or its impact upon South Dakota employers. In summary, if the bill is passed, essentially what the department intends to do, for those legislators that were here during the welfare reform days a few years back, the PRORA requirements that were passed, is one of those requirements. We were required at that point in time to create a directory of new hires in conjunction with the Department of Labor. And in essence, what that does, that requires South Dakota employers to report any newly hired employee to the Department of Social Services within 20 days of the new hire. Then, based upon that transfer of information, if it was a delinquent child support obligor, the department issued what is known as the withholding order directly to the employer to withhold child support directly out of the individual's paycheck. I can tell you that that was a very good federal mandate within the state of South Dakota. We have created the directory of new hires within the Department of Labor. We've created a transfer of information computerized with the Department of Labor, and it's working very well to essentially collect child support in a timely manner once an individual is hired. What this particular bill does, it's going to bootstrap, in addition to the issuance of the national or the order for withholding upon an employer, if we have a hit within the directory of new hires, The Department of Social Service, upon implementation, we intend to do is we will issue not only the order to withhold income out of the individual's paycheck, we will also, if that obligor is under court order, and this is important, the obligor must be under present court order to provide health insurance coverage for the minor child, and the obligor is not providing it. In addition to issuing the order for withholding of income, we will then be required to issue the National Medical Support Notice to the employer itself. Once it leaves our program and goes to the employer, and I realize that the form is very detailed, it's lengthy, but if you review it, a lot of it is instructions. A lot of instructions to the employer and to the insurance company on what the new requirements are, because it is new federal and state law, and what they have to do depending upon the circumstances. Essentially, once it leaves our agency, both the federal law and the bill before you will require an employer to complete the relevant portions of the National Medical Support Notice within 20 days of the date of the notice. Once it hits the employer community, the employer is going to have two options. Number one, if there is not health insurance coverage being provided as a result, as a benefit of employment, in other words, employees and dependents of employees are not covered, all the employer has to do is check mark the applicable box and return that section to us, and that ends the story. Okay? Nothing further is done. If, in fact, there is medical insurance coverage that is a benefit of employment to the obligor and the obligor is not providing in violation of court order, then the employer must transfer the notice on to the plan administrator or its insurance company to basically begin the enrollment process. The insurance company or plan administrator will have an additional 20 days to complete the applicable sections or take any necessary steps to secure coverage for those minor children. A couple of important factors also that are built into also the federal law and also our proposed legislation to meet the requirements. First of all, there's a 50% limitation as far as what can be withheld right now for child support. In other words, even with the withholding order that we use now, there is a limitation both federal and state law. We can only withhold 50% of an individual's income, net income, after mandatory deductions for collection of child support, irrespective of what that obligation is. Now we're going to be issuing the National Medical Support Notice also. It's important the committee realize the 50% limitation remains in place. In other words, if in fact we have an individual who is paying current support and is under the fifth and possibly arrearages under the current withholding order, and they are within the 50% limitation, basically, if we issue now the National Medical Support Notice and exceeds the 50% because of the payment of premiums, we all know insurance is expensive this day and age no matter what the source. The children cannot be enrolled into the health insurance program and essentially will just continue meeting or collecting current and ongoing child support. It's only in those situations where the children must be enrolled if, number one, we're collecting current child support and arrearages, and also the insurance premiums can be paid within the 50% limitation before there's a requirement that children become enrolled. Obviously, I think it's readily apparent, and there were a number of questions in the House Judiciary side, especially from private business owners, and we did expect those. This is another administrative burden going to be placed upon the South Dakota employer industry. We can't deny that. What the department intends to do is, if the bill does pass between now and July 1, which is our proposed implementation date, obviously, it's going to be a major, major undertaking for the Department of Social Services in getting it successfully implemented. But as part of that process, we also anticipate we're going to have to do pretty significant employer and insurance company outreach programs and educational programs, similar to what we did when all the PRORA requirements were placed in place with welfare reform, placing all those burdens upon employers. From the department's perspective, we're not sure of the benefits within the state of South Dakota. The process that we use right now generally is, if an individual is court ordered to provide health insurance coverage for children does not do so, we up to this point in time we use contempt procedures. We would haul the individual into court with one of our prosecutors and basically have a court tell him, you will get these children enrolled. It's worked quite well in South Dakota in the cases where we knew that their coverage was available and was affordable and not being provided, but it's no longer an option as a result of the federal mandate. Again, I guess the only thing I can tell you, there are things about this bill, both personally as an attorney and also from the department standpoint, that we do not necessarily like. I'm sure there's portions in here that certain legislators will not like. All I can tell you, being as straightforward as I can, which I attempt to do with every committee, we have no choice. I don't think the state of South Dakota this year can afford to lose $25.4 million in federal funding. As I told the House Judiciary Committee, it will not be an easy bill to implement, but we have faced similar obstacles in the past with other major requirements with the private sector industry. We will also succeed in performing these functions, and to a large extent, we pride ourselves in our ability to work with South Dakota employers. I think that they realize that, you know, this is a cost of doing business in South Dakota to support South Dakota's children, and I'd urge your support, and I would sure be happy to attempt to answer any questions anybody might have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just a clarification, what would be the additional cost to employers? I have an imperfect understanding of what you've just explained, but as I understand it, the child would come within a policy that is already in place within the workplace, within the company? Would the employer be required to take out insurance that he would be paying for?
Essentially, the cost to the employers is going to be the flow of the paperwork again.
Yeah. Okay, that was
obviously the cost of doing business and the flow of the paperwork. And if there is health insurance coverage for minor children available as a benefit of employment, then the employer is going to have to ensure those children get enrolled so long as the 50% limitation for withholding is not exceeded. That will be
the cost would not be in the insurance.
No, we're not
premium.
Forcing any employers to provide health insurance.
Okay, that was my understanding.
Only if it is available and court ordered and not being provided in those instances, the cost and burden upon the employer industry, the employment industry, will be to get the children enrolled to comply with the court order.
Just wanted to clarify that. Are there any other questions? Any other questions of Mr. Braun? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any further proponents of House Bill 1012? Any further proponents? Any further proponents? If not, are there any opponents to House Bill 1012? Any opponents? If not, we'll close to testimony, open to committee discussion, committee motion and discussion. Is there a motion, Senator Dugard? We move to pass. Is there a second? And seconded by DeHuick. Any discussion of the motion? Senator Moore.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not blaming Dave for this or the Department of Social Services. I just have to make a statement on my disgust for the federal mandates that come down and burden particularly small business owners. I mean, it's clearly an additional burden on small business owners in this state. And you know what? It's not fun anymore. It's not fun to do business anymore. I wish I could say it was fun, but with all the mandates that come down, I sometimes wonder if we wouldn't be better off telling the federal government to stuff it, do away with the programs, and maybe we could save our businessmen and the citizens of our state a whole bunch of money by not having to comply with these stupid federal mandates. And that's the end of my statement.
Okay. Well, we do have some, we only have one more bill, and we do have some time. If anybody else would like to vent a bit, we could.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
One comment I want to make, and I appreciate you not blaming me, Senator Moore. It's not my idea. One thing I didn't mention in my testimony I think is critical, and it does relate again to the burdens upon the employer industry, and believe me, we're well aware of those burdens and the paperwork trails we create. Very cognizant, day in and day out, in 35,000 child support cases we're trying to enforce. One thing that we do envision to eliminate that burden is we're going to create, in conjunction with the Department of Labor, some sort of database, okay, to where through the employer EIN number, we can identify employers who do provide health insurance coverage as a benefit of employment as opposed to those who do not. The obvious purpose is, it's ridiculous in my mind, to send 10 of these notices to Taco John's or McDonald's here in Pierce, South Dakota when they get a new hire, when we know Taco John's and McDonald's doesn't provide health insurance coverage, and these people are going to look at us and say, how many times have we got to tell you we don't provide as a benefit of employment? That's not going to solve all your concerns. We do have some things in mind to hopefully alleviate some of the burdens, but it definitely won't alleviate them all, Senator Moore. And if I could apologize for the federal government, I would.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Braun. And Senator Moore, I don't mean to make light of your comments. I think we all share the frustration that you've eloquently expressed. Senator Moore.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, since you've given us an opportunity to vent just a little bit. I just want to explain to the committee that I am voting no on this bill as my statement of frustration with the federal standards that are being set now. I would urge the rest of the committee to support the bill we need to get.
Are there any further comments? Any further comments? If not, we'll proceed to vote. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Polk?
Aye.
Senator Kefele?
Aye.
Senator Ketzel?
Aye.
Senator Koskin?
Aye.
Senator Moore?
No.
Senator Dugard?
Aye.
Senator Wyden?
Aye. House Bill 1012 goes out with the do pass recommendation from the committee.